Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft all year round. We're the pod that doesn't stop. This week, we'll be looking at all the things we noticed from Round 16 AFL action to get your team best set up for the final stretch of the fantasy season. Waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, Captain Risky, and your listener questions also on the show later on. I'm Doss. Joining me on the show this week is Stevie Fizz. Have you got your toilet fixed yet there, Steve?
The toilet was fixed. It was the door. G'day, listeners out there. Yeah, no, everything's fine, except my back's totally rooted because I'm an old bastard, and I heard it just, like, twisting. So that's knocked me around a bit. Didn't get my runs in this weekend, so that was pretty annoying. But that's twist. Fine. That's fine.
Just the twist. Just a standard
twist.
It was
just a general twist. Like, I was just, you know, rotating my upper body and... The back shat itself on Friday, so didn't get to have a run Friday. I thought, it'll be right in the morning. No, it's still ordinary, and I assume it'll be bad again tomorrow because I'm old. I'm past it. I'm absolutely cooked. And hashtag bucks out. Let's get it trending again, people.
Hashtag bucks out indeed. Jono Crockett, he's on the show as well. How are you going, Jono?
I'm doing good. I'm not as old as Steve, so I don't twist and put my back out. But speaking of that, I was out for dinner on Saturday night, and a mate of mine was talking about something similar to that. He pulled his hamstring by flicking a leaf off his foot. So,
Jesus.
Just got to be careful out there. When you get a little bit older, just do a few stretches and just make sure your body's all right, because we are a fragile bunch as we get older.
Of course, that doesn't apply to me because I am fresh and, of course, very youthful, Steve. On to our Round 16 review, looking at each game and all the things we noticed. First off, what did you see in the Hawks-Collingwood game there, Stevie Fizz?
The back of my eyelids, Doss. The back of my eyelids. This was maybe the most boring game I've ever seen in my life. Couldn't say enough bad things about it. I'll be writing Cam's injury report. Cam's taking a little hiatus from the show for a few weeks, so love you, Cam. Hope everything's working out. And I'll be writing up my injury report where I actually banged my head against the wall from falling asleep and giving it a little tap there. But things to come out of this match, not much. If you manage to trade for James Sicily at a buy low price like we were suggesting whilst he was getting shunted forward, you'd be pretty happy with yourself because he had a banger. Absolutely destroying Collingwood there across the half back line. Pendles got tagged. He managed an okay Supercoach score. Not sure how, but he. I think that's probably probably the main tag target. You know, he has been all year. Other teams are pretty happy to see Adam Treloar with the ball in his hand. So, Collingwood, the downward spiral continues. Not a lot really to come out of this match in terms of emerging fantasy options.
One thing I did notice doing the CBAs, I've done that already for this match, the set of bounce attendance for the listeners that don't know what that is. I noticed you sort of said last week you're not very high on the DeGoey, you're wanting to get rid of him, but he actually spent a lot more time in the midfield in this game. I don't know how it translated to fantasy scores. I didn't actually check that, but he was in there quite a lot more in this game. Does that make it a bit more palatable for owners there?
I'm still cagey. It's more just getting ahead of the curve. Like, we often see people wait till it's too late to trade out. And obviously now you're sort of getting into your trade deadlines. Ours just passed in our home league. But if Taylor Adams comes back, like, we know DeGoey's going to get some run in there. So I obviously had extremely low TOG in this match. Probably gave DeGoey a little bump. If Collingwood's midfield gets reinforced over the next couple of weeks, it's just being ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you just
and they're not even they're not generating any inside 50s. Like, they're horrible at the minute. Like, they're going to get smashed over the next 3 weeks.
You reckon? Yeah, I suppose that you said they have a tough draw as well, don't you?
They got West Coast away, GWS away, and Richmond. Like, that's why like all these moves are sort of in advance of the bad things happening or the good things happening. Like, they got some bad times ahead, Collingwood.
Tough times. Essendon, Sydney, Steve, you also checked out that one. What did you see in there?
So Heppel being laid out obviously caused a few headaches, and it was really interesting because people were up in arms with Langford being dropped, and he got the late reprieve. But with Sinclair missing for Sydney, Allaire was taking the bulk of the ruck time for the Swans. It pushed Tom McCartan more into defence, so that was interesting. Allaire's not really got a super high ownership in your fantasy format. Obviously a pretty attractive player in the Super Coach, but he might be worth a little defensive roll of the dice in those leagues. I'll certainly talk about him in the waivers. Zach Merritt took a pretty heavy bump at the start of the second quarter, but it was really interesting because he stayed out there for a good 5, 6, 7 minutes and then came off and spent a lot of the time off the field. But he was sort of jogging up and down the sides. He wasn't really doing a concussion test. It was more like they waited till they went in at the halftime break to do the concussion test, if they did one. And then he came out and was playing the third quarter. So it really affected his time on ground. Didn't have a great score with obviously all that time off the ground, but he wasn't doing heaps anyway. So it's one of those ones. Zach Merritt, we know he's had a little bit of an issue with concussions. It was a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. And so it's certainly something to be mindful of there. Rowbottom, 87, Dream Team from 52% time on ground, 24 disposals, 11 contested, if you don't mind. Certainly looks to have a bit of a future in the game. He's had a couple of good weeks in a row, so one for your keepers there. And Darcy Parrish with the most clearances for Essendon, really putting together a nice little season. Looks good. Looks better.
Yeah, so you will touch on Merritt in your now injury report coming out on, I guess, Monday. So you don't think it wasn't too serious if he was kind of jogging around on the boundary line?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He didn't. He sort of got up and jogged it off, and he did stay out there for a while. Obviously, it wasn't a flash performance, but, you know, they can't all be bangers.
And we should quickly mention, I think it was last week, that two of the players in this match actually pretty relevant DPP additions. So Jordan Dawson got defensive status. Not a huge game from fantasy perspective anyway on this one. But Zaharakis as well is now a defender in Ultimate Footy. So, I mean, it's a weird one for Jordan Dawson. In AFL Fantasy, he was actually already awarded mid-forward status. But in Ultimate Footy now, he's been given the mid-defender status, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. And he was playing more defensive role. And Zaharakis was really spending bulk time on the wing. So, yeah, it's interesting. But, I mean, that's sort of Heppel's bag, isn't it? Out that wing or maybe in the middle. But also, I think Gleeson's come back in and he's pretty key defender for Essendon. So they might not need Zaka back there as much.
Okay, well, should we get on to Adelaide Port with me? And we saw the return of Rockliffe, the Hoff, and Pau Pepper as well in this one, with the Boak late withdrawal as well playing a part in this one. So it was a pretty big change in the midfield dynamic, and I think we may have expected sort of a big return from Rocky anyway. So he went up a huge amount, obviously spent a lot of time at the center bounces and around the ground in the midfield. But the drop-off that was expected, Jono sort of flagged maybe Robbie Gray was a good time to maybe try and sell him last week because of the center. You know, he thought he wasn't going to play as much in the midfield. But I think Boak out in this one really helped Robbie Gray. Spent a heap more time in the midfield. Was actually equal second on the CBAs as well with Ollie Wines, who was potentially someone that was thought to be dropped last week. Really responded well. So Robbie Gray and Wines just really played well in this one. And then Westhoff, probably the big return we were really hoping for with Charlie Dixon in the side now. We saw him respond with a huge score, and hopefully you jumped on and maybe flew a low trade offer or something out there for him. And I mean, he was floating around in a couple of waivers on your legs, John, Steve.
Yeah, he was. Unfortunately, Jono snaffled him the prick, and I wasn't able to get my hands on it. Oh, Jono's lost internet connection. So things are going well out in Cranbourne.
Fantastic.
Wouldn't happen in Ararat.
No, Well, there wasn't a heap else I took away from this game. I mean, it was a demolition in the third quarter by the Power. It was a close game up until then. But I think the commentators on one of the radio stations I was listening to as well on part of this game, I mean, just Crows just could not get their hands on the pill in this one. So we saw a lot of low scores. I wouldn't be too concerned. Adelaide actually have one of the better runs home for your fantasy format. So I wouldn't panic too much with the low scores in this one. But Riley O'Brien, what a season from this guy. Just continues to do well. And Sam Jacobs probably looking around to see where he can find a new club next season. And from the other Adelaide point of view, Hugh Greenwood spent a lot more time in the middle in this one as well. So other than that, not a heap to take away from that game. And Western Bulldogs Geelong, I also checked out this game. I'll just take a look at what I got from this one. So I saw this game and I was really keen on Mark Blitzarves last week. Just like Cam had sort of flagged that he spent a little bit more time in the ruck. He actually didn't in this one spend a heap of time in there. He did a little bit, but actually like his role at the moment. So he's playing a bit of a floating sort of half-back role, just taking a few intercepts. Not as much of a lockdown for Blitzarves. And then he does get those stints in the ruck, sort of chopping in for Stanley. So he's still on a few waivers, I'd imagine. And I'd definitely be, we're not at the waiver wire pickup section yet, but Blitzarves is certainly high on my radar. I played him in a couple of leagues this week. And I mean, it wasn't a huge score fantasy wise, but it was good enough for the field. And then other than that, it was pretty much his standard. It's good to see that the Bulldogs now have really their established starting sort of four midfielders. So it's consistently been English, Dunkley, Bontempelli and McRae now that are just getting bulk centre bounces and bulk midfield time, which it's good to see that they're sort of standard and they've kept that for a few weeks now. So we're seeing big scores from the guys that we were hoping for. And the other one that returned to a bit of midfield time in this game was Toby McLean. So he went down back to the VFL last week, put up some good numbers finally, and Bevo came out and said that he's going to be playing him a little bit more in the midfield. He only spent a little bit of time in there in this one, but he did put up some okay scores in this game. So are you sort of eager to, is Toby McLean at least back a little bit, and especially with the forward status, kind of relevant a little bit more this season, Steve?
Yeah, it's actually interesting because Jono dropped him in our home league and I wavered for him and picked him up and played him straight off the bat because I saw he had 30-2 the week before in the VFL. Obviously with Lieber and what's his chops? Who's the other, you know, Napoleon Dynamite out of the team? Mitch Wallace. I think he was a great pickup whilst those guys are missing, but I think if you can pick him up and maybe grab a couple of good scores out of him, especially for your keeper leagues, he might be a good sell. But also, you got to remember, he's going to keep his forward status. Dunkley's losing it. Like, there's no doubt about it. So he's kind of interesting in that sense that he'll probably retain his forward status for next season. I look at some of these other guys, and they're losing it. Like, especially some of the fringy guys, like Dunkley, obviously, he can play as a midfield, but I look at like a Gold Coast player, Jack Martin, he'll lose his forward status and he's going to be tough to own in fantasy next year.
Yeah, that's true. We saw from last week a rookie that's actually putting up numbers worthy of fielding at the moment, Jordan Clark. I think you said, Steve, you know, maybe he was kind of more of a speculative ad from your opinion last week, but he put up another really nice game and he is playing a lot more just on the wing, purely on the wing now, rather than down back and having to lock down. He's sort of getting a lot more of the pill out on the wing.
Yeah, no, and he's low ownership again and it's a good team to be in for fantasy scores.
Yeah, and Joel Selwood, still a lot of mid-time, but didn't put up the huge score that he did last week. But that's pretty much all I saw from that game. And we'll probably skip the Freo West Coast game. And maybe I'll jump over to you, Steve, for the North Melbourne St Kilda game. Jumping a bit around here while we don't have Jono Crockett on the feed with the internet down. We'll probably jump back to those games and maybe skip back to my game as well a bit later. So North Melbourne, St Kilda. Steve, what did you see in this one?
Yeah, so again, it's as we start to get to the end of the season, some teams are doing a real test of things out, and some teams are sort of just doing the same old, same old. Sort of a lot of the teams I'm seeing are doing the same old, same old, although we did see with North Melbourne, Jai Simpkin has continued on his bulk midfield time, knocking out a massive 110 in your fantasy scoring there. So if you manage to snaffle him up, you're doing well. And he's super low owned, so people weren't jumping on like they should have been this week. Seb Ross, really been a hard player for fantasy coaches to own. I mentioned I was pretty keen to pick him up a couple of weeks ago. Jono did try to sell him to me. I managed to not bite for his terrible offers, as Jono tends to throw out. But he was spending so much time behind the ball in this match. He was lining up in the middle and then moving back. So he's a tough one to own, Seb Ross, unfortunately. It's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So it might look like a pretty bad one. Maybe he's a super value for next year, but I mean, he had bulk TOG in this one as well. So it's tough to know where you sit on with Seb Ross, because he's really, it seems like everything's set up for him to succeed, and he just isn't, unfortunately, even with Hanbury out. And the other player I wanted to look at was Hunter Clark. And I think Doss, you mentioned last week, he had a really nice game. One game's not enough for me to say someone's arrived, but he had a pretty good game in this one, and he's starting to look settled. He absolutely got poleaxed by a Jack Siebel shirt front in this match, and looked a bit worse for wear, but he's screaming third-year breakout next season. So certainly like the cut of Hunter Clark's jib.
Yeah, Hunter Clark looks awesome going forward. I didn't see this game. Is Nick Caulfield showing anything yet? Because I think we were high on him. Well, I know Statesman was pretty high on him as a defender prospect going forward, but he's not showing what, you know, Clark is for a third-year breakout, really, is he?
No, he's not. I think it's kind of hard to expect that. He really hasn't got the games, and he probably has a little bit more competition for position. In fact, like I'd say of the younger guys, Wilkie is looking quite good. So it's interesting there. It'd be real, real shocking to see Caulfield have a massive third year from here.
Jack Steele, of course, will 18 tackles. 18 tackles.
Awesome. Yeah, he's a machine. He's a machine. He's giving owners a good reward after last week's dip.
For sure. Well, I guess I'll get on to my game. Still no Jono here. So it was Carlton Melbourne, and I got to say, this was an absolutely shocking, shocking game until the final quarter, which was actually a really enjoyable game, a massive comeback. The comeback kings are Carlton. 5 goals down at three-quarter time, nearly escaped with the victory. Don't know if you saw any of this one, Steve, but there was a moment in the last quarter. I think it was Melbourne going to sort of really cancel out any hope of a Carlton comeback, and the ball literally stopped 1 centimetre short of the line just as it was about to roll through, and there was a big chase. It was actually pretty exciting stuff late in the game, but other than that, it was a rancid display of football. But there was a few things to take away though, and Jack Silvani, the breakout continues. Last week he was one of the best players, leading the Carlton comeback again last week, when he actually spent a lot of time in the midfield. Barely did not play there in the first quarter when they were getting smashed last week, and then he moved straight into the guts and played the remainder of the game in there. This week it was actually the opposite. So started out in the midfield, was absolutely in there for the first quarter and a half sort of thing, and then he got taken out and put up forward, where he just continued to show his dominance and kick some snags. So he actually had a lot less midfield time in this one, but just he's really starting to sort of show some talent out there. And don't know if I'm fully sold on just yet, but I really want to see where his place in the side is if he does get a few midfield rotations when Cripps comes back. But you put a tweet out, Steve, you're not ready for Silvani season. Why not? Jump on board. Why aren't you ready?
It's because you can see all that time getting sucked away by Cripps when he returns. Mm. And Carlton aren't going to be playing... Who do they play next week? They're not going to be playing Sydney every week. Like, Melbourne every week. Like good for him. I'm happy that he's doing well. Like, that's great. I'm not a hater. but it's they're playing Sydney. You know, it's just hard to buy into. I'll put it that way. I mean, good for him. And if you jumped on and look, we'll talk about him in the waivers, and that's fine. It's so out of the blue, though, isn't it?
It sure is. Now, can we talk about Braden Pruce's agent? What was this guy thinking in the off season? I mean, like, he comes out, he has a pretty ripper of a game. I mean, did you see? I think his Supercoach score was off the charts in Gorney's absence, and I mean, he could be a starting ruck, I think, in a few sides, but it's a shame he's going to be behind Max Gorn for until that contract runs out. But the
would expect that Goldie isn't, you know, going around for five more seasons like Max will be.
Yeah.
That's the strange part.
Hashtag that agent out. I mean, that is some shocking stuff. The other thing, Angus Brayshaw's time on ground just continues to baffle me. He barely played in the first quarter. I think somebody tweeted it out there. I saw he only had about 40% time on ground or something. Somebody said he came off. He was off for like 14 minutes, came on for about three, and then was off for another eight. Like, it is that bad. Something is going on there. But anyway, he's just not scoring enough at the moment. And I got to say, I mean, you know, you don't want to be a hot take merchant, but if he's not at another club or something happens in this offseason...
Spitfire, Doss. Doss, I don't want you to... Don't, no. Say something, Doss. Go hard. Jono will do it.
Fremantle, 2020. There it is.
I was just gonna say, Dusty, he's about as old as you. He's only 23, so maybe he's having a bit of an off.
Yeah, but how can he be good when he's not playing midfield and he's not getting time on ground? It's just like I don't blame him for.
Well, then hashtag Goodwin out then.
That's
chuck
the one.
It in there with Bucks out.
Actually, James Harms spend a lot less time in the midfield, and guess who was in there this game? Jordy Lewis. Popping back in the midfield for a retro display performance. It was a strange decision, but desperate times call for desperate measures from Goodwin out is gathering steam. So it was pretty strange to see. But Jordan Lewis was in there, a la David Armitage for Alan Richardson in 2018. So those are the things I noticed. But I also want to flag, I think there's a buy low opportunity now for Zach Fisher. He was in there in the midfield late in the game, consistently in this game, and it was when they started to turn the game around. And I actually do think he's a bit of a clearance beast in there, so wouldn't surprise
Mate,
me.
Doss, no, I'm going to pull you up because this is the sort of horse shit you pop out every fucking week. You tell me random, like, and I like Zach Fisher, fine, but you can't tell me a team with your boy, Paddy Dow, who is like the great... What did he finish, like 35 today?
No, well, he's
33 and 37.
He's getting zero mid-time now. He's permanent forward here. Zero mid-time.
Because you cursed him because he's your boy. You've got Paddy Cripps, kind of good. Goes all right. You've got Sam Walsh, also possibly good. Like, you've also got all these other jobbers and old boys and
Set
young possibilities. You don't have Matt Kennedy because he's not like the AFL. But you've got all these other guys. Like, why Zach Fisher, who's built, let's be honest, he's not exactly a big unit. I don't know that he's standing up to a full season in the midfield. And he's a good outside player. He can lay a tackle. And I think he's fine in that role. But just DOS check yourself, mate. Just check your head.
I'm just saying he made an impact late in the game, and he had nine centre bounce attendances from when he started in the midfield. He only got in there halfway through the third, and then he was at every one as they came back. By the way, I think the reason Carlton just keep coming back, they put the numbers out there of teams that, you know, have the most data running, and I think they're just fitter than every team. Like, they have just so many runners that's why they're coming back all the time.
Melbourne had like three guys on the bench in the last quarter. Oh, sorry, they had three injuries.
Yeah, and they're the fittest team in the comp. Mate.
You're living a lie, Doss. You are living multiple lies, actually.
St. Kilda's the fittest team in the comp, according to Lethaline.
Well, anyway, so Silvani's a top three keeper. We'll move on to Jono, Gold Coast, Richmond. He's back on deck. The internet is working. And can you tell us what happened in the absolute spanking of our poor Gold Coast Suns, Jono?
exactly that. You can take nothing out of this game when a team has 7 goals kicked on them in the space of 8 minutes. And that was game over. It was just a percentage fill-up for the Tigers. There was a bit of a tag by Shear on Dusty Martin, which quelled him. And all the commentators got hard on saying that Cochin's back, but that was more just a byproduct of they playing the Gold Coast Suns, and we know that Gold Coast Suns are good for midfielders anyway. So all the small forwards, your Castagnas and the likes, all got involved kicking multiple bags. So if you're thinking about Castagna for next week, I wouldn't think so. But, yeah, that's all I can take out of that. Because it was a pretty horrid game.
So, and the wind, Jono, the wind was just against the Suns all game.
Every quarter. It's hard, every hard quarter, to believe. Just bullshit.
Now, I don't blame anyone if they didn't catch this game. And I actually took a few things away from this game just from doing... We're releasing a CBA article now on Wednesdays, which is looking at the centre bounce attendances from every game. And I checked this one out just to see, and this could totally be a reaction to the fact it was a spanking, but... Shire Bolton was way up on the CBA's, Jono, in this one.
They were just giving people time in the midfield. It was just,
I think so.
Have a crack to see what it looks like. You know, if they get a couple of injuries, whatever, they can maybe mix something up. But like I said, it was just a training run. They just, and there's you can't take too much
on
out
the,
of this game.
On the Gold Coast side, I do like, though, Jono, we've been pretty high on Will Brody, and he's been absolutely taken a lot of the centre bounces, but in this one, way down. In fact, wasn't even going to be in this game, was he? Was he a late inclusion?
No, he was a late in for Peter Wright, and I wasn't really, like I said, I wasn't paying too much attention to the Gold Coast Suns because there's nothing really to take out of this game at all, really. I mean, Witts was actually being dominated by Chol early in the game. And that's what's affecting Witt a bit. He wasn't actually getting the hit-outs, but it was a bit wet up there. As Steve said, very windy as well. So Chol was just jumping over Witt's, but in the end, Witt's big body was able to get over the top and scored a couple of nice fantasy tons for us.
Yeah, so the player that actually replaced a lot of the centre bounces was Took Miller. So a few people were sort of flagging maybe potentially getting him in on the low, or even, I guess, off the wire if some people had dropped him as well. So he was taking a crap load of mid-time away from Brody. So, Jono, what did you see in the Western Derby, Freo West Coast?
A bit of another pounding game as well to watch. Well, actually wasn't too bad till the first quarter. Then it came down with rain, and Freo decided to continue to play dry weather football, but instead should have played wet weather. Rory Lobb and Aaron Sanderlands is not going to work for too much longer. And Aaron Sanderlands, I don't think, is too long for the AFL football because he was absolutely dominated by Nick Natanui. And as we've seen, a bit of a trend now, it's your more mobile ruckman, athletic ruckman who can get around the ground. I mean, Sanderlands couldn't even jump. I mean, he had a fair few hit-outs, but they put Lob deep forward and where he spent most of the game. Still had about 13 hit-outs, but I'd like to see Lob and Darcy as a combo. I'm not too sure what Darcy's like as a forward, but that's probably your better combo there. Jack Darling, with Josh Kennedy, was a late out and actually spent a bit more time up forward, and then Vardy was used as that tall forward in the forward line. So I think when Kennedy comes back, I don't know if they're going to have the four big men floating around, maybe. But it's one to keep an eye on because that would mean Hickey is back out, back in the twos. But again, Nick Nat, 50% time on ground, so still managing that time.
Jono, with all the injuries Fremantle got up forward, Lob's going to spend time up there. We saw he averaged pretty well over, you know, the first half of the season. Is he just unrosterable with Darcy or Sanderlands in the team?
Especially with Sanderlands, yes, but like I said, I haven't seen that combination with Darcy and Lob in the forward line playing together. So if it's just Lob on his own, all good. But yeah, as you said, I dare say it would be unrosterable if it is the two of them together. And Ross the Boss does seem to like Sanderlands in that team, so goodbye, Lob.
Do we see it was Fife getting a bit of attention this game, scored shockingly? I mean, I guess a lot of Freo players didn't they? They just didn't have the ball in their hands, I guess.
copped a knock as well to the shoulder, spent a bit of time off the ground and probably didn't go in as hard, but I wouldn't call it a tag per se, but as you said, they just didn't get their hands on the ball, the Freo players.
I was pretty excited about Connor Blakely last week with the centre bounces and stuff. Did he not play midfield in this one? Because we saw him late in the last quarter last week actually spending a lot of time in the midfield.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a week-to-week proposition. With Connor Blakely, and look, he is a defender, and we all expected him to be play that midfield role, but they've got a lot of guys going through there. That you've got Chera, Walters, Mundy was spending a lot of time in the midfield this game, Fife, so they're just running heaps of people through that midfield now.
Is it Darcy Tucker season? He's starting to string a few good games together?
I think he's just the one. He is the guy who has gone in that midfield and been that constant, especially the last 2 weeks. So, as I said, he's a nice midfielder. He's not going to be great, but he's going to give you some pretty good scores throughout the year. But I think he's pretty capped.
Right. He spent a lot of time in there early in the year as well. He's like their Jack Graham.
Yeah, I suppose. Yep. He actually looked good early in the year as well. So it's probably, he's been patchy throughout the year, but maybe now gathering some steam. GWS Brisbane, what did you see in that final game, Jono?
Lincoln McCarthy, I'm liking the cut of this jib. We spoke about him last week, and it seems Brisbane have built a team on midfielders that can also kick goals. We've got McCarthy, you've got Lyons, Lockie Neal can bob up, and Robbo too. So I'm really liking what he's doing, and if he continues this midfield role, I can't remember his numbers from last week, and Doss, I'm sure you'll put it out in the article what he had this week, McCarthy, but he has been spending a bit more time in that midfield. I thought with Marcus Adams coming into that team, it might have affected Harris Andrews' score a little bit, but didn't seem to think so. Andrews scored a nice 91 in Supercoach. Obviously not really a fantasy-relevant player, so they did throw Adams a little bit forward towards the end of that game just to try out a few things, so could be something there. And Cogs, he rolled his ankle or something early in the game, but did manage to soldier on for a pretty good fantasy score. So whether they rest him next week, not too sure. But who have they got next week? Richmond. So
they fucking
game.
Better not rest him. I'll tell you that much.
They do.
Especially if Kelly's gone out with a calf.
That's because Kelly's done a calf, has he?
Yeah. Well, apparently he's gone out in the last quarter with a calf. So wait and see.
Here on the draft, doctors. Yeah, cop that, Tom Brown.
It's his calf that's connected to his shoulder. That's a concussion. It's a web of issues.
All right, waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and Captain Risky still to come. But first, we're checking in on those iTunes reviews. We need ratings. My apologies. Ratings, Steve. We need the 230 to get Jono having a really hot corn chip, putting on a dance routine and putting his face in peanut butter. And where are we at on that, Jono?
Well, shit, get some money together. I'll do a nudie run across the MCG. Fucking hell. Hey, I was looking at those hot chips online, actually, and some of the comments on there are actually quite hilarious. It's some people just like, don't touch your eyes afterwards because the burning sensations. I wouldn't mind doing that. Where are we at?
210, I think.
Don't know where we are at. We've had a couple reviews. 210. But another review from Backers. He says the pod is entertaining and informative. He's only been on board for the last month or so, but really enjoying the banter and the advice has also helped him make a few smart decisions. Keep up the good work, fellas. So thank you very much for that. Keep them coming along. Get to 230 for me. I'll smash my face in some peanut butter and sprinkle some chili powder in there just to give your guys a bit of a laugh.
All right, awesome, man. We'll get to our waiver wire pickups for the week using players under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy to make sure you have a chance at getting them. If you're in some shallower leagues, there's probably some better options available, but keep checking who people are dropping late in the season just in case you get an opportunity like Toby McLean we hear, Jono. You know, you dropped him and Stevie snapped him up.
Yeah, big deal. Bevo's going to fuck him over at some stage, so... And I just hope it's in a final when I'm playing Steve and he knocks out a 34.
I got to make the finals first.
All right, Steve, who did you have as a waiver wire pickup this week?
Top of the list, Jai fucking Simpkin, 57% ownership. Get around it. How wasn't he snapped up last week? I don't know. Blixarv, 62% defender. You got to get around that. Jack Silvani.
Yeah, boy.
It should be higher than that, just on the fact that he had a good game last week, really. I'm cagey, but...
It's Jack Silvani.
I know, that's the... Good for him. I just want to say, good for him, Jono. Good for him. Well done.
Look, I understand him. We're not talking real football, so we're talking fantasy football. Yeah. And he's never been a good fantasy footballer.
He was quite good. It's a tough matchup against Sydney. So if Cripps comes back, I'm cagey about that midfield time. But hey, look, there's worse things you could do than pick him up and have a crack. Hunter Clark, 39% owned defender, which is crazy because he should be a keeper option.
I saw that hit. Is he concussed, though, or did he come back from that? Like, I saw a hit.
No, he came back. Wow. He came back. Okay. It was a solid hit. But Alir is 59% owned, listed defender. He's obviously getting that ruck time for the Swans. I don't mind that. JJK, 53% ownership against Collingwood, who I would expect West Coast to slaughter. Hashtag bucks out. Here's a bit of a left field one. Jesse Joyce, 20% owned defender for our Gold Coast Suns, playing against the Crows, which has been a pretty handy matchup. 83-point dream team average over the last three. You could probably do worse. And just if you're in a keeper league, Jack Bowes is 59% owned and should be back within the next month. Might get a squeeze a couple games in before the end of the year. That's all I got.
Jono, what have you got?
Pretty much had all of those from Steve. The only one I had, if you need a little bit of midfield depth, and he's been scoring all right, is Rowbottom for the Swans at 18%. He's had a couple of good scores the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Darcy Tucker's at 63%. If you do want to jump on that train, Hawthorn, Sydney, Western Bulldogs in his next three could go right. And to be honest, I know you guys scoffed at it, and I could be completely wrong, and I think I will be completely wrong in the Shire Bolton train, because I know that I think they were giving him just a go against Gold Coast in the midfield, but honestly, it was really good. And it might be an experiment that they continue to do with. We know that they've chucked Dusty up forward before, so I didn't realize he's so young, like he's only 20, so wouldn't surprise me going forward. And even if it's a little bit of a keeper stash down the line, see if he pops in the final couple of games, I'm all about it.
I'd take Sydney Stack over Shai Bolton before anything.
Yeah, but is he flying around the wires still, though?
No.
I wouldn't think so, but he's
scoring well. By
the way,
Geordie Clark, jeez, he's 44%, and he's gone 96-89 in his last couple.
Gee, I'd love it if you pick him up in a keeper league there, Doss.
The Seed.
Yes,
Seed is only 64% owned. And if they're playing the Gold Coast Suns, that is a match that the Seed will dominate. What a downhill scare.
That's true.
The Lush Seed, get around him. All right, it's time for the trade of the week with Steve. And you've been, I must say, you've been nailing these in the last few weeks, Steve. So who's your gem this week you've got for us?
Yeah, I've been nailing them. I can't execute any in the home league.
So I guess you mentioned last week, I don't know if this is the same one, but you did say Tom Lynch last week, and we should probably flag that that's still probably an option as well this week because he's still out injured.
Well, I mean, I'm starting to get a bit cagey about that, picking up. Well, I hate trading for injured players, and that's why, because he misses another week. No, this week I don't have Tom Lynch. I've got another forward, also named Tom. The Tomahawk himself, scores have been absolutely putrid lately. 54 Dream Team over his last month. But St Kilda, Hawthorn, Sydney and Freo on deck. That is a really nice string of matches. And I will bet the Tom Hawkins owner is a little bit frustrated if he's only been rocking out a 54 average. So I think Geelong, you know, they've obviously come out of the bye rounds pretty slow. I'd look for them to turn it around against some lesser opposition, let's say.
All right, the Tomahawk is on your radar. And Captain Risky with Jono, so a captain option outside those obvious picks. Who have we... Oh, you got actually called out in the Statesman Skipper's article last week for being not risky enough on the Captain Risky. Don't know if you had a read of that, Jono, but he was throwing a few darts at you there. Who have you got for your
Captain... Who was throwing darts?
It's the Statesman.
Who's that?
The former member of
the guy who used to be on the show.
Well, you want Risky, Doss, I'll give you Risky. It's your ultimate boy. You made a song about him.
Oh, yeah.
It is Braden Gotarini. He is up against the Crows this week. They do give up midfield points, and they don't tag. So all signs point to Gotarini this week. So has been in a form slump, but hopefully Adelaide can get him out of it.
I like that. I like that a lot. I think the Statesman will approve of that as well. So if you do want more captain options, check out that Draft Doctors, the Draft Doctors website for the Statesman Skipper's article. You've also got the injury report now written by Steve for a little bit there. We've got A Dozen Deals by Sam Porter and the late week pickups by Jono on a Friday. So those are those pickups that you're not spending a waiver pickup on, but you might do it for the matchup play. And CBA's article as well on a Wednesday. That's going to give you all the centre bounce attendance numbers from across the round. We've also got a Friday video as well coming out on a Friday on the Draft Doctors website. That's thedraftdoctors.com.au. On to some questions, and you can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Not a heap going on the questions this week. The only one we have is from Mark. Is Bevo or Longmire the most fucking annoying for fantasy and Supercoach? Hashtag Bevo out. What is that one?
Bevo in because he's been coaching like a normal coach, but he is the most annoying by far.
No, I'd say it's Longmire. It's got to be Longmire. He'll run like three tags. And at least the thing about Bevo is because everyone plays midfield and forward, they all have DPP. That's one plus.
No, but Bevo functions with an entire team, not just a one position.
I do hate Bevo.
Lucky Hunter, you play fullback. Caleb Daniel, you're fullback. Just play on the Mason Cox. It doesn't
matter. Honestly, after the Brayshaw situation, is it just Goodwin?
Oh, it's got to be. Just the one player.
What about Richo?
Stuffing us around and playing Richo, Viney. Just playing Viney.
I can get behind that shade, to be
like
honest.
Jordan Lewis in the midfield is the ultimate Alan Richardson Armitage. I could not believe it. I just remember the press conference last year it was, and the quote from Alan Richardson was, "We just needed David in there." This is just a pure move to get the veteran in to save your job. But, I mean, they won the game just against Carlton. So,
maybe it was a farewell game. Who knows?
Oh,
Goodwin's got a contract. He doesn't need to save his... Like, Richo's gone. Like, he's just dead man walking.
Yeah. He's got the full backing of the board. We love
you. Bell ring at the start of the match. I just want to see him go along the boundary fence, just old school, and just smash Armitage's shoulder or something. Or it's not good.
I just want to say, there's actually some warning signs on the fantasy coaching front from Stewie Juice throwing a bit of garbage out there that's annoying for fantasy coaches. You know, not potentially bad for coaching in general, but. He dumped your boy. I think you were away at the time, Steve, but we talked about your boy Brody, only a late in as well, and then just not playing midfield at all in this one. And he's dumping my boy Fairini's, not getting much, only 33% centre bounces this week, just not getting in there. He played sheer 11 CBAs to do a tagging job, and I mean, I guess you could say he succeeded, but Dusty didn't even play in the midfield. Like I said, they put Bolton and Shane Edwards and a few other people in there. Like, it's just... just frustrating.
I would suggest that when we were talking to Cam a couple of years ago, we had no idea. You always said, we have no idea what's going on inside the club. We really don't. And I would suspect there has to be a really big culture shift within the Gold Coast. So if you're not buying in, then you're going to be the one who's having to work from the outside in. So it's like guys like Miles. Like, he's gone up there and, like, we sort of know what Anthony Miles is as a player. He's not someone you're going to build a team around, but he might set the standards at training.
Exactly.
Like I'm sure Tuukka Miller sets the standard at training. So if, you know, Will Brody's not toeing the line, then he'll go out. Like that's how it's going to be. And I might not like it as a fantasy coach, but they don't give two shits about my fantasy team.
Exactly.
So
yeah, doing the right thing long term, but maybe hurting our fantasy scores short term. There is one more question.
And Fiorini, like the problem with Fiorini is he's really just not very good.
Oh, excuse me, Steve. That is incorrect.
55 Supercoach points and 84 Dream Team this week.
Being good in, like, if you watch the Suns, DOS, as I know you do because they're very close to your heart like they are mine, their massive problem is they're super unfit and they can't actually hit a target to save their life.
Mm.
So if someone actually manages to break free from their opponent because they've caught their breath for 5 seconds, the person with the ball can't actually hit them anyway. Yeah. And if they do, it's by dumb luck.
It's like when a cat gets a mouse. It's like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Yeah. It's just on the ground. They're looking at this dead fucking mouse, just tapping it back and forward between their paws. You come home and there's a dead mouse. And that dead mouse, my friend, is Braden Fiorini.
No, don't you say that again. He's still the GOAT. Just wait for the bounce back. Hey, he's Captain Risky this week. You just watch him pop. And I'll be putting the C on just for that reason.
The dude who's going to be a star in that team is Lukosius.
Yeah, well, we haven't even seen Rankin, who's supposed to be good. Hopefully, we'll see Rankin in a couple of weeks, and he can show us that there might be that star that they really desperately need. This is from Miller Time. He wants an update on Cam's various cartons. So I think we've sort of talked a little bit about it recently, but I mean, I haven't got the numbers exactly on hand, but I think he's losing a fair few of those cartons. He had a bounce back from the Nunes bet that we made today. Nunes did okay.
I will be sending him some beer because Ablett will not average 100.
Yeah, so there was that one. He bet, I think, 82 or 83.5. He had over for Jack Nunes, so that's one that he's losing at the moment. I can't remember. What was the other ones for Cam? Yeah, Cam put on like 5 or 6 bets in the preseason. So
Dalhouse, some Pinos there.
Yeah. I did do an update a few weeks ago, but maybe I'll get the update ready for next week, Miller Time, and I'll do an update of everyone's cartons and where they're at. But any final closing statements? I guess we're coming pretty close to finals. Is there any strategies you guys like to go with these last few weeks or maybe just before the trade deadline? Do you ever sort of put anything wild out there if you're, you know, struggling? I guess you're sort of struggling to try and make those finals, Steve. Do you ever put anything wild out to really make that final push?
Mate, I'm struggling to make the finals. I'm locked in. But, well, I need one more win or one more loss. I think it's just you know, play the percentages. Like, weigh up your matchups, where you are. Like, are you playing the team who's, like, if you're not the top team or second team, like, are you playing one of them? Do you need to get the W? Do you need to take someone who's got a higher ceiling than someone who's got a lower ceiling? It's really that simple. Look for the good matchups. Just because you find the good matchup doesn't mean you always choose the right player. Like, for instance, I was playing the far and away best team in our league, Jono, this week. And I looked at the Gold Coast matchup and I thought, yep, I'm going to choose a sort of small forward wing sort of player from Richmond. I chose Daniel Rioli, and it was either him or Castagna who I was choosing. I chose not the right option. Did it affect the win? No, it didn't. But just like that's still the right move. I'll put it that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's still the right player. Like, you might play Jesse Joyce from Gold Coast against the Adelaide because it's the right matchup and maybe Pierce Hanley has a brain. Like, it's just those sort of things. They don't always go your way, but as long as you got the right process, good results will happen in the long run.
Are you when it comes to the sort of real hard-hitting games at the end of the year as well, are you ever tempted, if there's, say, a player down on form, but with a, you know, say they're averaging 100, but they're in a real tough stretch, and then you've got someone, maybe you've just picked off the wire for the last couple of weeks that's real hot on form. I'm just thinking of an example because it is something, a question that comes through quite a bit. Are you going to be playing the percentages there in terms of, I know it's very dependent on the player, etc., but largely speaking, would you be going with a guy that has done it for the whole season, that's, you know, averaging a ton, or are you likely to put your balls on the line and say, no, you know what, you're benched, this other guy has been hot, I'm chucking him on field?
No, well, like you mentioned, it's very situationally dependent, but I'd probably play the person who's done it over the long haul. And the reason to do that is, like, I know people ha-ha-ha variants, but it's a thing. Like, let's say Steve Canelio goes out and bangs out 200. He's very unlikely to do that again. Like, he might have a hot run of 3 or 4 weeks, but it's very unlikely that someone's going to continue a 140-plus run for 10 weeks, let's say. It's very unlikely. So if someone's who's averaging 100's had a couple of down weeks, they'll probably bounce back. Just be aware of that. And, like, this is the interesting thing. If you play smart fantasy football, you'll probably make the finals most years. But that doesn't mean it's going to go your way in the final. Like, your captain could get injured in the first 5 minutes. You could play against someone whose captain scores 200. That's just one. It's a one-game shootout, and that doesn't mean you're the worst team. You could have the best team, and you see it in leagues year after year. It doesn't mean they win the premiership.
Yeah. I mean, an example for me for this week, like, I benched Brad Ebert, even though it was a okay matchup. He'd been in stinking form. But then I happened to field Jai Simpkin. I got a little bit more points out of that. But then, you know, you've got Gary Ablett that I fielded instead of Ebert as well, based on the form, so, and coming up against Western Bulldogs. So I guess, like, it can go either way, but I guess you just got to play those percentages. And, yeah, I guess going with the average often at this point in the risky situation, I'd probably back in there as well. Well, thanks for listening, and follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter and on Instagram. Subscribe, leave a review, rating. Let's get Jono doing the hot corn chip, the peanut butter in the face. We only need like 20 ratings or something, so I really want to see that happen. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.